You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Okay, ladies and gents, welcome to this edition of the City Kitty Podcast.
Woo woo.
We are celebrating. I just want to say, give a shout out to Ronnie Chanel. Her birthday was yesterday. Happy belated birthday to Ronnie Chanel.
Thank you very much.
And because of that, we're still a little tipsy from last night. So this is going to be an interesting show. You know, we ended the party kind of late, you know, and
don't judge us based off today's show because, I'm not functioning. My brain ain't working like it should. It ain't as quick. I'm still recuperating. I'm recovering. I partied hard Saturday, Sunday, Monday, just really overdid it. So, but we're going to still have a good show. I'm just saying I'm going to be a little off today.
I believe in overdoing it for your birthday. I'm a strong believer in overdoing it for your birthday. So as you guys probably know, we have another City Kitty, Judge Miles, who is not with us today.
Judge, we miss you. We love you.
She'll be back next week. What up, Judge? And we got some good topics to talk about because, you know, she going to set it off. Period.
She's such a rat, ain't she?
Period.
She's such a rat. I can't stand young hoes. I love it.
So she will be back next week.
I cannot stand young hoes. Oh, my God.
I like them. You know?
I mean, I'm 38. I think she in her 20s.
They keep me young.
I think she, but period. She just a fucking city girl. I hate the city girls.
City girls versus Lil' Kim.
No, I like city girls.
So with that being said, we have a special guest today joining us on our City Kitty Podcast. When it's a male. So usually what we do when we have a male in the house is City Kitties and a hound dog, you know, okay? So, you know, you got a wolf, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'd be like,
you got a wolf.
I sound like a dead cat. I sound like a dang cat.
You do. I just hit you with my car. You just got hit by my car right now. And don't bark like DMX. So come in. This is my homeboy, also from Finkel. If y'all know me, I'm Finkel's Finest, 4-1. So they know that's how we do. So give it with no further ado, Funny Man, Darnell Dino Jones.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you gotta do a bark or something like a DMX.
Let us know you here. You can't go growl.
Bite. I don't bark.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Well, I swear he just can't.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Forget it. Just forget it.
We got a dead dog and a dead cat in the studio, ladies and gentlemen, and he all like, should I bark? You know what I'm saying? That's one of them hood dogs. That's a dog on drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's my dog. That's my dog that found a crack. And my joke, the dog about the crack.
Oh, that's the dog right there?
Yeah, that's the dog. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So that's a heroin dog.
Been that on the chain like, 15
so
years.
So, Dave, I got this joke, Dave, about my parents being drug addicts, being crackheads when I was a little kid. And I liked my crackhead parents. You know, I was mad when they got saved and stopped doing crack. Because they was going to church and I couldn't do shit no more because I had to go to church. So I wanted to get them hooked back on crack. And what I would do is I would hide crack all around the house. You know, little crack here, little crack there. Sprinkle a little crack everywhere.
The Chris Rock motif, just sprinkle a little crack on it.
Just a little crack on it, right? So come to find out, my parents didn't find the crack. The dog was getting high. The dog. The dog has been in and out of rehab.
Oh, man.
Just lost and turned out. The dog.
So the dog's stealing other people's treats.
Yeah, my dog done turned gay for, you know, crack and stuff.
Can y'all imagine the dog on crack? You know what I'm saying? Like, the dog going over to other people's house.
He's
like,
never home.
He's stealing other people's stuff. You know what I'm saying?
One time a friend named Rottweiler found his LSD stash.
Oh, my God. Did the dog live?
Yes.
Okay, I feel like the dog was just tripping. Like, I feel like the dog
was not normal, but the dog lived. Yes.
Wow.
What was he? I'm just curious. I just want to know. Like, did he just keep going up with his paws? Like, what up? What up? What up? Walking in circles, going in circles. Like, yeah, so you know.
So one time, my friend's dog, they had some gasoline that spilled in their garage, and the dog was, Darnell, they heard you burp too.
Mm-hmm.
They heard you burp.
I did
somebody
too.
Somebody said they heard you burp.
Yes, you did.
It must have been Dave. Dave, you down there burping?
No.
That was Darnell.
Somebody burped.
Now he gonna lie out here. Don't lie.
But look, listen, y'all. The dog had drank some gasoline that had spilled in the garage, right? And licked it up. And, you know, we thought the dog was sick. You know, the dog was just running around real crazy. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh my God, what's gonna happen to the dog? And then the dog just dropped dead.
Damn.
But we thought he was dead. He had passed out. He had just ran out of gas. That was a little preschool joke for you.
That was a good one.
That was funny.
That was a preschool joke. Somebody gave me that joke about 20 years ago. I got y'all.
You so stupid. So, we do, like I said, we got the guest in the house, Darnell Dino Jones. And today's edition of City Kitties that we're going to be talking about, because, like I said, me and Ronnie was still a little, you know, how that goes. But today, we're talking about a bunch of different stuff. But first, we're going to talk about living on purpose. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about people. I'm talking about people that got that one job that you're sitting at that job, and you know you're ready to get up and walk the fuck out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
You know, and really about following your dreams. We're three comedians who all kind of took a chance and did some things. And today we're just going to kind of let you lead the way. You know, we're going to talk to Darnell, let him tell his story. He has a very interesting story. And we're going to let you tell your story. We're going to talk a little bit about ours. And tell us about y'all aha moments. You know what I'm saying? So
give me that call-in number.
And then the call-in number is area code 248. I say 248-809-5004. I sound like I'm on a LaVan Hawkins commercial.
248-809-5004. Call in and let us know, you know, what did you do? When did you have that moment to where you were just like, I'm ready to pull it all on the line for what my dreams are and what I want to do? Make sure y'all call us in. So, you gonna kick it off, Mel?
Well, actually, I was gonna start with our host. I was gonna kind of give a build up to who we're sitting here with, but just kind of give you a little background on myself. My aha moment, I think was the day I walked on stage and became a comedian. Because comedy kind of grabs you suddenly, you know, like gradually. I'm gonna say gradually, it kind of pulls you in, you know. And like with anything, you got to kind of stay focused on it, but it pulls you in. And I actually started comedy. I was going to law school. I was on my way to law school. I wanted to be a lawyer and all that good stuff and everything like that. And, you know, it just didn't really work out. I started doing comedy, and, you know, the rest is history. But I'm on the countdown to my job. You know what I'm saying? So if my coworkers watching, y'all know I don't come to work already. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know I got one foot in the door and one foot out the door. You know what I'm saying? So I think I had a series of aha moments, because you just can't, as a comedian or anybody in entertainment or just whatever, like, it's so hard to perform in front of 200-300 people or hundreds of people, and or even just if it's 15 people that make you feel like a rock star, and then you got to go back to work and you don't tell me what time I'm supposed to go to lunch? I got a problem with that. Like, bitch, I was a star on Saturday. Exactly. Are you kidding me? You know what I'm saying? People loved me on Saturday, and Monday, you telling me I got to be here at 9 o'clock exactly? Why? What's going on at 9?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What's happening at 9 that I need to be here? They, like, work. And I was like, is it? You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know, that's kind of how that kind of happened for me. But I, like I said, we brought Darnell on because I wanted to kind of talk about, because my, you know, mine is a little bit more religious, because my mama bought me the classes, and you know what I'm saying? The first time I had the money, honestly, the first time I had the money, I was actually going to start comedy in 2011. Really. I really was going to start back in 2011. It had been on my mind since maybe, shit. I mean, like, really wanting to do it, like 2010, something like that, you know. And I ended up meeting Crystal P, as a matter of fact. Okay. I met Crystal P. She was doing a cruise ship. And Crystal P was on the cruise ship. And I seen her doing comedy. And I was like, oh, that's somebody in the city that looks like me doing comedy. And then she was, I can identify with her. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was the biggest thing. Oh, hold on. We got a caller. We have a caller. Caller.
Yes.
Hi. How are you? Who's this?
Well, what's going on? This is Dern again. How are you guys doing?
What's up, Anthony?
What's
up, AJ?
Hello there.
That's my terrible Jamaican accent.
I know, that was horrible. I thought, I didn't know what you was.
Very horrible.
I didn't know if you was a white man. I didn't know.
I thought you was a white man trying to be a pedophile.
I did. Sound real creepy.
Right, yeah. I'm from Bangladesh. No, I don't know. What's going on? What's going on, city kittens?
What's going on?
We live.
We here. What up, though? What, you wanted to say what's up? Or you got something to talk to us about? What's up?
Y'all got any questions?
When was your aha moment for comedy? When did you realize it was time to pursue your dreams and go after something you really loved?
Shout out to comedian CP. I used to do this open mic downtown. It was an open mic, and it was my first time performing in Detroit. I already performed like at Joey's and all that little stuff, but it was my first time performing in Detroit, and you know how it's very tough to perform in Detroit. You know, everybody said it, but it's really different. So it was like an open mic, my first time performing, and it was like a competition. I killed it. And then, like, you can win an open mic or you can have a good set, but, like, when a veteran comic come up to you and, like, you did your thing, and, like, at the end of it, all the little veteran comics was taking pictures, CP, Gemini, and Mike Larry, and they was all taking pictures and doing their thing. And CP was like, Jernigan, come over here, man. You are one of us now.
So, that's dope.
Like,
that's dope.
That was like one of my aha moments. You know, like, and I'm like, oh man, for real? Then yeah. So that to me, like, okay, I got something going. I need to keep doing this.
That's awesome.
You know what? Yeah, Thank you for sharing that.
Thanks
I have
for
some
calling
cute
in.
Music
we
got to
have you on our
in.
Show right, right. So I can get on. You know, Anthony has a show, too. But, shout out your show.
Yeah.
Your podcast.
At Pillow Talk Tales Podcast. We on the same network, Podcast Detroit. We have the
shout
World
out to Podcast
Studio.
Detroit.
See, I know that name.
Yeah. You know that name? Okay.
Pillow Talk.
And we're chilling here with Dave Tales, right now. You know Dave?
We on every other. We going to be here Wednesday, tomorrow from 9 to 10. We already like 13 episodes in. I'm definitely going, you know, try to check you guys out. Come on. Thanks for, you know, taking my call.
Appreciate you.
Much love. And I wanted you to know that the first time I heard you, you wowed me. That's why I booked you. That's why I booked you for my show.
He's a great guy.
It took me a minute to catch who he was. He killed the locker room before.
Yeah.
He killed the locker room for me before.
Yeah. I love him. He's a great guy. Yeah. And you know what? Something I kind of, you know, wanted to pose, and, you know, we can kind of go back and forth with my story, but something within my story that is that, and I don't want to limit it even to comedy, just entertain or whatever it is that you're doing, you know what I'm saying, that you're pursuing. When you start staying focused, you know, you lose a lot of people and a lot of things on the way, you know?
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to know, how much are you willing to sacrifice,
yeah,
you know, so to speak, to actually go after something. That's why I said, so it doesn't necessarily have to be comedy, but I want to know how much would you sacrifice? You know, I've seen marriages break up. I've seen mates not be together. Like, how much would you sacrifice, you know what I'm saying, to, you know, really, you know.
Is this your Facebook quiz, how Thanos are you moment?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, how?
What did it cost you? Everything.
Like, what did it cost you? What did it? And I can say for me, you know, friends, sleep, time, money.
Yeah.
A place to live.
Darnell.
Mm-hmm.
I want you, before I tell my story, I want you to let everybody know, what was your moment? When did you know that this is what you wanted and you were willing to sacrifice everything to get it?
You know, I came into this game by accident. The first time I did comedy, I actually, you know, I was going to a lot of shows. My cousin owned a bar and he had a comedy night every week. And I used to come every week. And this one particular day, I came with a date. I'm sitting there and a comedian, shout out Popcorn. Popcorn heckled me. And as soon as he did it, everybody in the building knew who I was. They was like, oh, he done heckled the wrong dude. So I went on him. I went on Popcorn so hard that he actually, it was like the movie 8 Mile. He couldn't talk no more. He just was holding the mic like, I lost. And then at the end of the night, he seen me in the parking lot. And he was like, hey, I'm thinking he came to fight me. I'm like, what's up? He was like, you ever thought about doing stand-up comedy? And at the time, I was working at Metropolitan Cab. I was a cab driver, and I worked at Hanson's Windows. So I was like, nah, you know, I just got out of prison, man. You know, I'm just having fun. I just had a little fun. I ain't never thought about doing comedy. He was like, why don't you meet me at the Blackberry Thursday? Just do a little five-minute set. And I said, all right. Came up there. I rocked out.
That's what's up.
I rocked out. I still don't think I could get to that level again.
Sound like you did, like how crackheads feel the first time they get high. They just can't get high like that no more.
That's my high.
He said to me, man, do yourself a favor. Stop what you're doing and do comedy. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take a chance. Took the chance, and now I wouldn't trade it for nothing in the world.
That's awesome.
I think that's I think that's really what it does to you, honestly. Yeah. I mean, I think that's entertainment if you're an entertainer, but I really do, you know, believe that that's where it happened because, you know, I started at Mark Ridley's, you know. Like I said, I took the class, and, you know, it just kind of went from there. So, you know, shout out to Bill Bouchard, who pushed me right along the way to Joey's and all those other clubs and everything like that. And for me, it was the first day I walked in. When I walked in, I was like, oh, this is it. I hadn't even been on the stage yet. I hadn't been on the stage. Like, everything felt like home. It felt like home. I hadn't even been on stage.
I remember, and I got a question too, y'all. Brandy, I want you to call in with that question. Call in that number that you see on the screen. Call in that number for that question, okay? But my moment was, the first, I just knew that I've done everything you can imagine. I went to school for nursing. I'm a licensed nail tech. I went to school for phlebotomy classes, business management major. What else did I waste my daddy money on? I did everything. And I was a bartender for years. And that was I love bartending because that was the stage for me. That was also a stage. Mm-hmm. And I can make people laugh, you know what I'm saying, and keep them entertained. And so what happened was my friends and my family, they would literally just be like, you got to come to our parties. Every event, I had to come to entertain people. I was always telling jokes. And everybody was trying to push me. Went on a ski trip. My friends pushed me up. They had a talent show on the bus. It was a 10-hour ride from Detroit to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And as I get up there, because I was talking about my experience that weekend, and they pushed me in front of everybody. And I did like 4 minutes the first time. And so the guy that was managing me, shout out to Sed and Chucks vs. Adidas. Had a great time that Sunday. Y'all did awesome. But Sed was managing me at the time. And he was like, come on, let's go to Baker's. Two weeks later, I was at Baker's. And I was the featured act at Baker's. 2 weeks later.
That's dope.
I never did comedy in front of a big group before. I was supposed to do 7 to 8 minutes. I did 22 minutes.
I think everybody went over their first time.
And it was, well, they didn't like me. So he told me just let me keep going because they was feeling me, you know. And it was just such an amazing, it was an amazing feeling. Like, I couldn't, oh, my God, it was amazing. Like, it was like getting high. It was, it's what I imagined crack being because I was just the highest. And I wanted it some more and some more and some more and some more. I wanted it. And I knew I was willing to sacrifice anything for it. I knew that I would lose people. I have. I lost friends. I lost, you know, people along the way. We're doing this. I can't keep a man because they don't like what I do.
Right.
They either they're a groupie and it become like stalkerish. It become weird, you know, or they just can't handle my lifestyle. That I hang out with a lot of, I always hung out with guys anyway, but now I'm in the limelight doing it. I'm on stage doing it. And a lot of men don't like that.
Yeah.
So I've sacrificed a lot, but
why is it that dudes don't like that?
I had a conversation. I can't even remember what female comedian it was. And I told him, like, I could kind of understand sometimes a dude doing that because they feel like, okay, she's doing jokes about relationships or whatever, and I'm in a relationship with her, and I'm sitting here in the crowd. So they're already assuming she's talking about me. So it's an ego. It kind of hurt the male ego a little bit. So, like, you know, I, Like
Okay.
I done had to deal with some strong women because I done said some hell of a things on stage and was actually talking about the female who I came in with.
Yeah.
A lot. I do it all the time. Because to me, if it's not real, it's not comedy. You know? So I tell the truth every time. All day.
I just want to point out two things. One, we have used crack a lot of times in this conversation.
We have freely used crack
a lot of times in this conversation. So for the people on my live, good evening, Wesley. This is not a crack conversation. I just want to reiterate that crack has been used as an analogy two to three times in the last 10 minutes.
Though, that crack ain't what it used to be. I miss the good crackheads.
Oh, they still around.
The good crackheads will cut your grass, clean up the dog shit, paint your whole house for $7.
Shout out to Jack. You know? If you need Jack, I can get him. He on Finkel and Mendota on dead end all day.
Shout out, he fixes cars, but he do other stuff though.
He can fix your car, but it ain't gonna run. So, that's about a week.
Yeah, because he gonna take it. He gonna take the.
I got guys that do that. I know crackheads that do all kind of shit.
Yeah, the good crackheads is the bomb.
Can I cuss? I just cussed.
You can cuss. You can say shit. Oh, okay. Watch me say them all. Fuck shit, bitch.
Just making sure.
That was all the cuss words that I could say.
He was ready to crack up. Oh, like crack. Okay, crack it up too. Okay. So let me ask you this. So for some of our viewers who don't know, that's why I said I don't want to limit this to necessarily comedy, so to speak. But we do know, as being in entertainment, it's a very different ball game. And even just, you know, doing the things that you do, it's a very different ball game. But I got Darnell here in the building with us, and you said that the first time you started, you started roasting somebody and everything like that.
And it's funny because I'm not even a roaster.
But I mean, it comes out
unless provoked.
I don't do that. I will admit that's my weakness. I'm not good because I'm too sensitive. And not sensitive to myself, but I'm more sensitive to other people's feelings. You can go on me all day, and it won't bother me. But say if Darnell was going on Mel right now, I'd get in Darnell's ass for going on Mel. You know what I'm saying? So I don't like to, you really have to bother me to put that pressure on me.
Right.
Because I ain't that, you know. I'm not the roasting comedian. I don't.
Yeah, me neither. Because actually, I feel like this. If a person came, spent their time to come see you perform, and you turn around and degrade that person or make that person feel a certain way, that's not comedy. That's a clown. That's what we did in high school. You know what I mean? That's what I was known for in high school, roasting. That's the difference. I'm no longer a clown. I'm a comedian. It's a professional thing. I appreciate everybody who ever come to any show I ever did. So why would I turn around and disrespect you?
I like that. We got a caller. Hi, caller.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Brandy?
It is.
Hey, Brandy. I love you. This is my best friend, Brandy, y'all.
Hi, Brandy.
What's up, Brandy?
Hey, y'all.
How you doing?
Brandy, you got a question for us today?
What'd you say?
You got a question for us today?
I do.
What's up? I do.
So my question is for each of you, whoever wants to answer. So since you guys have been doing comedy and you're doing stages and everything, like, what's one of your favorite memories throughout all of that? Like, what's something that you just are going to remember forever, is funny, and, like, one of your favorite things to talk about?
Oh, that's a good... Like one of my accomplishments, or just some ill stuff that
just
happened at a show.
Your favorite memory, whatever it is.
Yeah, either one, whatever it is. What's your favorite memory of all your comedy? What's the favorite thing that you like? This is funny. I love it, and this is the best.
You know what? I know this is gonna sound so mean, but the first time that I really had to tear somebody apart, that was really great for me. Because everybody be like, I'm not a roast, but I'm a nice person. And so in my soul, I didn't know I had it. You know what I'm saying? And I remember I roasted the man so bad that he left the bar, called the bar back, and told the bartender, tell her I'm sorry and buy her a drink. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
So that is probably one of my favorite I know it could have been something very positive, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, the first time I featured at Mark Ridley's Comedy Castle, you know what I'm saying? But no, it was me being downright ridiculous. So that's
hilarious. How about you, Darnell?
That's so hard for me. Because I love the game. Every day I wake up, every day I step on the mic, it's a new memory, and I love what I do. So it's so hard. I have a lot of different memories. One of them that stuck out, though, for real, was when me and you went to Chicago. That was a great time, even though you left early.
My baby got sick.
Ronnie, Paradise, Tony Lamont.
Yeah.
We went to Chicago. We hit a whole bunch of shows. We drank a whole lot of liquor. We had a real good time.
It was so funny because him and Tony Lamont thought they was going to get some. I was not fucking them niggas.
I wasn't trying to get nothing. Stupid.
They thought they was going to get some because we were sharing the room. Nigga, get on your side of the bed and I'm on mine.
What are you talking about? I wasn't trying to get nothing.
I was like, you are my brother.
Hey, you was in the bed with me.
But you know when people get the high pitch, Randy?
I was asleep when we walked in.
What about you, Robert? You got the high pitch.
No, I didn't.
They thought they was going to get something. No,
I didn't rub on your booty.
No, nigga, I'm going to get drunk and snore louder than you, okay?
Let me tell you something.
You ain't going to want none after I go to sleep,
Let me tell you something about me. I did 9 years in the penitentiary. I can make love better than to myself than any woman can ever do me. Can't Spirit nobody do Darnell spoken. Like Darnell
I
can do Darnell.
I know
Let's
where this
get
is going,
that right.
Darnell. I know who's going with the penitentiary.
Can't nobody do me better than I can do me.
Do me, baby.
What's your damn favorite? Right.
Darnell, I believe you.
Yeah.
Okay?
See, if you pay attention, I got a diamond ring on my left hand, a nice Michael Kors watch on my left hand. This is my girl. I ice her up. I love her. Don't nothing come before my left hand.
Ice me out.
It's my boo.
Man. So my favorite memory, Brandy, is the day that I bombed at the Winter Ski Fest. That's my favorite. That's my favorite memory. I had all this hype. Everybody was talking about me, and then she gonna go in there and tear it up. I had all these people in the same color t-shirts in the front rows, and you know, it was probably about 100 people there to support me. 100 plus people there to support me. And I was ready. And this is at my first year in the game. I had just made it to my 1 year anniversary, and I thought I was ready for this type of crowd and everything. So I go up there. First of all, my little fat ass was out of breath from dancing. Before I ever got to the mic to say a joke, I danced about 10 minutes. And when I got to the mic, I'm out of breath. But not only that, I just couldn't get my jokes off. And it was like, it was the most, I thought that was it. I was done. I was embarrassed. I felt like I let my people down. I didn't want to come out from behind the stage. But when I came out, the people that were there to support me were clapping and waiting with open arms and encouraging me, keep doing it, da, 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 da. You got this, you know, just keep working. It's okay. Don't feel bad. And here it is. I'm dying in the inside. Like, fuck this comedy shit. Right? Fuck it. I'm done. I'm never doing this again. I'm never embarrassing myself like that again. I was so deep down and depressed. I got home that Tuesday. I got home Tuesday morning from the ski trip. That night, and it was my DA family. My DA, shout out to DA. Them motherfuckers is the truth. I love the fuck out of DA. They support me everywhere, all across the country. Wherever I go, they come out to see me and support me. Nisha was from DA.
Okay.
When we went to Chicago. I love you, Christian. Yes. But look, so I got home. I got off the plane that night, right? And that day, and Josh had a room over at Rain. It was like upstairs in a loft somewhere. And I went over there. I said, can I get some time? And he let me get a few minutes. He let me get some time in. And I killed it. From that day forward, I went and did open mics every night for about 8 months. Mm. That show that I did out there made me so much better. That's why it's my favorite memory. I love to tell that story. When shit knocks you on your ass and you doing something and you trying to pursue your dreams, don't get scared and wavered at the first failure, at the first sign of trouble. Keep going if you really, really want it. Keep going. That's my favorite memory. Thank you for calling in, Brandy.
Thank you, Brandy.
I love you, boo. I'll see you tomorrow. Turn up.
I feel like we're supposed to play a Negro spiritual after that.
That's what make you a break you, though.
It do.
If you bomb and you go back and you rock out and you really, like, rock out, that's what make you a break you.
Well, let me ask you this, Darnell. We brought you in here for a reason. So you mentioned that you spent 9 years in the penitentiary. How
my
did
PO
you
here?
They better bag up. How did you find the funny after the felon?
Did you tell jokes in prison?
Like, did you tell jokes in prison? How did you find shows?
I mean, I told jokes as a kid. You know what I mean? Like, in high school, like, you know, when I get introduced, like, they always say the 6 years straight Cooley High School roast champion. That's true.
What did you do in high school 6 years, though?
I did ninth grade, part one, ninth grade, part two, ninth grade, part three. Yes.
let me just back it up for the viewers. What year did you start comedy?
I actually started comedy in 2012.
2012, you started comedy. Mm-hmm. And when what years were you in a pen? When did you? I mean, if you don't mind us asking, it's a public record.
I started my penitentiary.
Nigga, I'll search Otis on your ass.
375-306. When did you go to prison?
No, I'm 297-812.
You see, he knows. Get it right. Get my prison identification number right. So when did you?
1997.
To 2005.
Then I got out, and I went back.
Okay. So you did a couple tours.
Yeah.
And at what point in time did you just say, you know what, I'm going to stay out of trouble. I'm going to try to, you know what I'm saying?
Stay in trouble.
Okay. Well, anyway, with all that being said and going back and forth and being in such a dismal place, because we know prison is not necessarily the funnest place, do you talk about prison on stage?
I have. I mean, it is what you make it. Everybody got an uncle or somebody that's been in prison before. So it's something that almost everybody can identify with. There's nobody, especially in Michigan, who doesn't have a cousin, uncle, auntie, sister, mama that hasn't been to the penitentiary. So
did you, like Ronnie said, did you tell jokes to some of the inmates?
I mean,
this ain't no jokey place.
I bet you couldn't tell no
jokes. Both of y'all, you can. Oh, I didn't, the hardest of the hardcore jokes in prison is sexual jokes. Oh,
man. Like,
you got to be secure in your manhood.
Never, man.
You got to be secure in your hand. Man, I didn't have.
Did you have sex in prison? That's something I always wanted to ask somebody. Because people, dudes be like, you know, I was
with
fucking with the
man.
With
the
guard.
No. Not with the
man.
Yes.
Not with the man. No, yes, I'm not asking, you know. Yes. I'm not asking. Did you didn't participate in homosexual activity?
No, okay. Never.
Yeah, but how did you get pussy in prison? How did you get pussy?
Same way a lot of guys get it out here. You trick.
Okay, with the guards?
Yes.
The guards, okay.
We going to blow the code on TV. So what, we going to blow the code.
No, I've heard it. So what do you pay them? Like
tonight on a very special
edition. You know what I'm saying? Niggas in
tips. You call your homeboy
in the criminal justice system. The people are represented by two separate.
I plead fifth. You know what I'm saying?
Darnell didn't have sex in prison. If he did.
Hypothetically speaking, is the word you're looking for.
How would you have done it?
Hypothetically, for legal reasons.
Yeah, you didn't do it, but if you did.
If I would have had sex with a woman, you got to make that part totally clear. With a woman, not something that looked like a woman, an actual woman, a guard, a counselor, a lunch lady, whatever. If that's what you want to do, you either got to smooth talk her and take her in the back and do what you do, or make a business arrangement. Listen, I got a cousin. You call him. He's going to give you $100, and me and you going to do what we do. And they say, okay.
Because hypothetically, I have not had a good date since I stopped being a probation officer. My shit used to be lit.
You used to date.
You know what I'm saying? My shit used to be lit. But now,
you used to date your people, the client.
He wasn't on my caseload per se.
You used long to be not, a PO?
Long as it's not your, hypothetically, if I was.
Okay, because hypothetically, I would be getting high as hell if you was my PO.
Oh, no. I'm going to still fuck you and ask you for your ID. I'm going to still fuck you. As a matter of fact, you're going to drop me off.
And look, you got to drop.
Look, you're going to drop me off at work in my car and still come in, and I'm going to still be like, let me see your ID. Like, and if you ain't got enough money to test, I'm still turning your way.
That's what I'm
saying. Tell you, go get the $3 out of my council, fool. Why you even come in here without all the money anyway? Embarrassing us. You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically, if
no,
I did
we
that.
Go together.
You know what I'm saying? We hypothetically was together for 5 years. Hypothetically. Hypothetically. You know what I'm saying? You know.
This ain't Dre Roll Mac, is it?
No. Okay. I told you he gonna fight me. Okay. No, this is
I told you
somebody different. And
you told her you got in the back. That's what it sounded like.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna announce it. She said Joy Road Mac at the club the other night, and she looked at me when she said it. Yeah, Joy Road Max, she said it. I'm Finkel Darnell. Talk to me.
So after you got out of prison, I know, you know, everybody know prison. You know, it's rough. How did you get, like, mentally? Because I know it takes a minute to kind of mentally.
I still ain't all the way there.
Get yourself back. So how did you, and I know that, but how did you even find, dig in enough to even be like, I want to even get back on stage? Like, did you immediately want to get back on stage? Or,
oh,
I mean, I know.
Well, between, but, you know, I wasn't a comedian to the second tour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had the little O.J. Simpson situation.
Hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
I feel like you need to be really, really careful saying O.J. Simpson situation.
Yeah, hypothetical. But she's still here, though. She's right there. Hi, Mike. Mike said, hey. Hey, Mike. We'll talk about it off the air. It's off the air story. So,
yeah.
So how did you, so even on the second tour, so whatever happened,
okay,
even with all that being
so
built up.
After I got locked up, came
twice
out,
and all that and everything, how did you even, did you?
I mean, I knew, I felt like I already set a standard out there. When I come home, I'm still who I am. That didn't change. I still have a goal. My goals don't change. It's just I'm on a vacation for a minute.
But, I mean, you took a mental beating in there. I mean, you take a mental... I mean,
by that time, I was used to... Jail was nothing but just something to do. I've been locked
jail
up.
Jail is just something... Like, first of all,
two-thirds of my life.
Man, I spent...
I don't want that to be a PSA for kids.
I did a couple of days in jail, and I was prepared, like, because, you know, I ain't the license situation and stuff. You know, if I did get caught, hypothetically, driving with the suspended license for the 17th time, you know, I had to spend a few days in jail. That was, you know, for me, the way my life is and as busy as I am and the stuff that I do as a mother and just life, period. Man, that was it was a relaxing 3 days. I lost a few pounds in there. It was like, I couldn't eat nothing because the food was disgusting. So I lost some weight, but it gave me time to sit down and get, you know, get some things in order. And I went in.
Exactly.
I had joined the gang already. I had a girlfriend. I had me a bitch.
You had a whole life.
I was there for 3 days. I'm just saying, I just wanted to get set in real good. I was Muslim. I had turned Muslim, yeah.
Not Ronnie X.
Yeah. Ronnie X.
That's a whole nothing. We're talking about the prison. I'm talking about the prison Muslims, because you know Ronnie how I feel X. About Brother Lee, about Brother Bilal. That's a whole nother Brother thing. You know how Brother Bilal, he probably on the live. He know who he is. But
sometimes being incarcerated, it can either break you or it can make you better. I'm not gonna lie. I can 100% say to you, the first time I went to prison, it saved my life. Because
yeah.
I know that God took me away from the situation that I was in that would have got me killed. I was doing a lot of wild stuff when I was in my early 20s. I didn't care. So when I, like, my first 2 years of incarceration, I had like 7 friends. Me and these 7 dudes, we used to do all kind of shit together. In my first 2 years of incarceration, all 7 of them died.
Wow.
So in jail?
No, they all.
They
were on the outside. He was locked up.
Oh, wow.
So I know there is a 100% chance out of all 7 of these dudes, I would have been with one of them. God saved me. He knew he had a better plan for me.
Yeah.
He took me away from that.
Mike Neubacher said, hey, Darnell, glad you're back on stages. Did you do comedy in jail?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Mike, he did. He did do comedy in jail.
6 packs of noodles, I'll make you laugh, guaranteed.
Oodles and noodles for jokes, is what he said. You know what I'm saying?
Zooms and wham-whams.
For the bam-bams and the tam-tams, you know what I'm saying?
I do like a good prison cook-up. My baby daddy made prison cook-up.
So that means you coming to the show with me and T-Barb then, right?
When is that?
The 20th. We're having Hood Rat Kitchen versus Block Boy. All of the vegan dishes she's cooking, I'm counteracting them with things I learned how to cook in prison.
Okay, that's interesting, though. Yeah, I'm gonna come.
She's gonna make a vegan
shout out
dessert.
To comedian T-Bar.
I'm gonna make a prison fudge. She's gonna make some kind of, I don't know what her main course is, but I tell mine is an actual prison tuna dish. It's gonna be cold. Trust me. I know. I have little bagel pizza recipes. I have the original cook-up recipe.
Cookbook? Is it a prison cookbook
coming?
Soon.
How are you not calling this like Iron Bar Chef?
You know what
I'm
saying?
That's coming soon.
I think we got it.
Because I like prison cook-up. My baby daddy made it. He made it every year on his release date, the day he came home. And it was like noodles and beef sticks and
cheese,
Doritos, hot peppers.
Yeah.
Pickle. And he put the shit in the wrap too.
Oh yeah, the burrito wrap. Oh yeah.
He put all that in the burrito and honey. He put some, yeah, it was like put some honey in it. It was. See, it was stuff that you wouldn't think I'm of putting together that, was actually good.
I'm gonna do that with some tuna with them same ingredients, but I'm adding a little honey mustard, a little onions, a little peppers. I'm telling you, it's gonna be the shit.
Here's the whole thing. You heard it here on the podcast of the City Kitties, Darnell, Dino, Iron, Tar, Chef, Jones.
I like that.
It's going
like
to be
it.
Out here
Dave,
making
you
prison
Dave.
Cuisine. You know what I'm saying? This is what this show is about. Y'all thought we was coming
Darnell,
this way, but we going
you,
that way.
Darnell, you don't even know. You don't even know what you just stepped into.
We got prison
Look
cuisine.
At that. Hey, you know what I mean? Motherfuckers been locked up. That don't matter. That shit tastes good to me. I ain't did enough time to, you know, not like it. You know, I like the shit. I know
so
you probably never
you probably never had the fudge, though.
No.
Yeah, it's only a certain amount of people that can actually make the fudge.
Yeah.
The peanut butter, the sugar, the coffee creamer, the M&Ms on top. You box it up, cut it into squares. It's about that thick.
He is a gourmet chef.
It's sweeter than any candy you can ever buy out of a store.
And that's what that's kind of what that's dope. So, because this, we wanted to bring you on here because it's not a lot of comedian, you know. A prison comedian, this is great. You know what I'm saying? We just want to know because I had no clue. Like, this is dope for me. So, I had no clue at all.
Just so you know, I suggested you.
Okay.
Thank
you.
So
just in case you want to give something to somebody, you want to thank somebody, thank me.
Okay. You know what?
Shout out to Ronnie Chanel. Fuck Melanie. I mean,
Can I say this to Darnell before we move on?
Mike said, I heard the food is a joke. Glad you shared your comedy where there was needed. Monique made a HBO special from prison. Your turn. That's what's up, Mike.
That's what's up. That's what's up. You go. That's awesome. Look at these ideas. You got a restaurant.
But make sure.
About what they telling you. You got a restaurant. Go back to prison and do some comedy.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Go back to prison.
I ain't saying get locked up.
What I'm saying is make sure everything clear because I don't want them to surprise you. And you be like, oh, I'm here to do a comedy show. And
I just went to see my PO today. Shout out to Agent Joyce.
Click, click.
Right, you know what I'm saying? They be all like, oh, go in the storage closet and get the peanut butter. You know what I'm saying? In the storage closet. They take a sheet off. It's a prison sale. You know what I'm saying? They like, Darnell and accidentally went to jail.
I would love to just first say, that's amazing. That's an amazing story. A lot of people don't come back from prison and rebound and do things. You know what I'm saying? They get in that system and it's a continual cycle. They go back and back over and over again. I'm just proud of you, out here, you know, working a job and everything. You doing the damn thing.
Yeah. If anybody needs any life insurance, I'm also a life insurance agent, Primerica, Darnell Jones.
Come on with it.
Darnell, if that's the case, you could have signed up under me. Like, look. That's what's up, Darnell. Yeah. Give it up to Darnell.
I am a state licensed life insurance agent.
Ooh. Give it up for Darnell, Dino, Jones. Very excited for that. Also, because we're getting ready to wrap up the show, because we don't have too much time left. We got about 10 minutes left to the show. I just want to thank Darnell, because Darnell did come on here. You gave us a whole smorgasbord to talk about.
Yeah.
And
you carried the show, because my mind.
Nah, I was chilling.
Y'all ain't working. Y'all my mind ain't working today.
Your mind is working just fine today. Your mind is doing just fine today.
Look, what are we doing after this?
But listen, you know, we always have our edition of what?
Kitty litter.
Kitty litter.
Kitty litter. Janelle, so kitty litter is the tea, is the gossip, is what is going on with these crazy ass celebrities doing, what is going on with these celebrities. So what we got in kitty litter today?
So we got a couple different things going on at kitty litter. Well, I know you always say you don't really give a damn about celebrities and stuff, but I seen something that was kind of interesting. They say that R. Kelly, your boy, is asking his ex-wife to put a gag order on her about talking stuff about him. So, and I think that's probably the last of the things, because you probably should have said that before the series came out,
right?
About the part two thing. And then, so what do y'all think? Do y'all think he should just lay low and shut up? You know what I'm saying? I think R. Kelly should probably just lay low and not say nothing about nobody.
That's not going to help him. I don't think R. Kelly's going to jail. That I don't think. I know they say, you know, do I think, I just think they don't have, they got evidence, but they waited so, so long.
Bill Cosby.
I want to say this. So she said, ask judge to tell her to shut her trap or else. R. Kelly says his ex has been running her mouth far too long, and now he wants the judge to shut her up. According to new legal documents obtained by TMZ, Kelly's legal team filed a motion alleging the singer's ex, Drea, has breached a marital settlement agreement they signed back in 2009 that she would not say a peep about the time that they were married. So, obviously, you know, she did the whole thing on there. So, yeah. I think it's just, you know.
But
I
she crazy as fuck, too. She crazy. She'll get on there condemning this man and he ain't this and he did this, that, and the third to me. Only to be on Facebook Live saying how much she loved her ex-husband. She listened to his music and they're singing. You know what I'm saying? When I don't fuck with you, I don't fuck with you. Yeah. I ain't listening to your music. I'm not. You talking about, oh, we still friends and that's my ex-husband and this, that, and the third. Like, bitch, you crazy. I'm sorry, no.
Also, on the lighter news, you know how they been doing all those reboots?
Oh, no.
And the reboots of different shows.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All that kind of stuff, like did Roseanne and all that stuff. Well, it seems that we have some of our reboots might be trying to come back. No, it is actually, let's see, reboots of Family Matter and Hanging with Mr. Cooper, eye for Warner Media's upcoming streaming services. So it may be two new. I want to see Urkel. I want to see how Urkel grew up. You know what I'm saying?
No. Yeah.
Like, I want to see.
Can you bring back Hanging with Mr. Cooper without bringing back 227? Because that was the back to back. Like, they were back to back.
That was a good one. Yeah. That was a good one.
But I'm be kind of curious about reboots. Like, how do you bring them back?
If Mr.
You
know Cooper's still living with them two damn women. He ain't even got a job. And,
right.
And got his damn life together.
That's why I said I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know. But I'm just curious to see, you know, how it would, play out. But I'm just saying, because I seen, like, they did Roseanne. They did Murphy Brown didn't last long at all.
No. What's the name came back? Will and Grace. That was one of my favorite shows.
Nothing good.
But it didn't last long either.
That only being one season, though.
Yeah. It's still going, though, right?
Yeah. And then what's the Punky Brewster is the one that I just saw.
They brought Punky Brewster back?
They are, with Celia Moon Fry.
She's still alive?
Yeah. Yeah, she survived Macaulay Culkin.
Well, speaking of reboots, did y'all see, I need y'all honest opinion, did you see the Child's Play movie?
No, I'm still scared.
Melanie, did you see it?
The new one?
Yes.
No.
How was it?
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
They destroyed, man. Did you see it?
No, just out of spite.
Man.
Just out of spite.
Certain things you just leave alone.
It doesn't involve Charles Lee Ray. He's
what?
Not, Chucky is not a possessed doll. He's a fucking broken toy.
Oh.
He's a toy with a chip in it that's broken.
Oh, they had to make some technology shit. It just had to.
Black Mirror called. Stop doing their shit.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was the most horrible movie ever.
That is terrible.
Wow.
That is terrible.
I don't want them to read this. They were talking about reading.
Has
Martin.
Nothing to do with Charles Lee Ray.
I don't think
don't touch Martin.
Yeah, you can.
Again, don't touch Martin. I just think I love watching Martin. I love watching the Wayans brothers.
I go to sleep with
BET on because Martin, Jamie Foxx, or the Wayans brothers to be on all night. You know what I'm saying? So, but leave it. It was good. You know, we need that moment. We need that.
Yeah. There was just a great story about like behind the scenes of In Living Color and like how they got that on the air, what it was supposed to be, and then how badly shit went sideways when Keenan left.
Wow.
Because he was tired of arguing with the network, and they were like, and like the, you know, the two Wayans that were still left, everybody else was like, well, shit. We're still on the boat, but it hit an iceberg and nobody knows where the hell the captain is and we're all going to die and this is just going down in flames and great. Yay.
See? Man, that's why I said so. I wish they just really leave him alone. But we only got about 5 more minutes, so we're going to wrap up the show from there. That's why I said, and the last thing, and Kaylee later just want to give a shout out there is, I didn't want to leave on that note, but I do want to say that they're opening up the investigation for Nipsey, into everything to get everything rolling about the woman in the car and all that stuff. So
I'm lost. What happened?
I don't know anything. Oh, okay. So LAPD, they've opened up an investigation into the woman who was the driver of the getaway car, and everything like that. Cause, you know, basically, you know, to get everything rolling. And also they were talking about that, she has immunity and they're just, you know, she's telling everything that happened. So hopefully with her telling everything that happens that they can get this taken care of and closed so that the family can get some, you know, some peace.
But that's
and stuff
bullshit.
Like that.
I don't think she deserves immunity. I'm sorry.
I don't either. But, you know, that's why I said, so justice for, you know, Nip, and hopefully that can be. And then the last thing is, I just want, if you didn't know this, B2K, Omarion's baby mama, is pregnant by Lil Fizz. So we talk
about in the whole
that.
Fuck?
I heard about that.
Yeah.
She fucked the ex
but
group.
Did you hear the, bigger news?
What?
With P. Diddy. His son, P. Diddy is now engaged to his son's ex girlfriend, who is Steve Harvey's daughter.
Get the fuck out of
this
here.
This is just too
okay,
much.
You know what? So,
for me to
I
think.
Actually think that is going to be a segue to something we can talk about next week.
man,
is it cool for your daddy to date your ex? Or is it cool for you to date your parents'
ex? Oh, man,
you know what
I'm
going to
be here next week.
But you can still call me and talk about it. Where are you going to be? First of all, we want to thank Darnell Jones for coming up.
Thank
please
you,
give
Darnell,
us your social
media
handle.
Thank you, thank you.
What's your social media?
I am Darnell Jones, the page with the white suit. Go to that one. Comedian Darnell Jones at Gmail. I have a show that I am doing this Saturday, Perfect Beat, with Detroit Red, Bobo Lamb, and Popcorn. I am also doing...
Gonna be in my neck of the woods.
I'm also doing the cooking show on the 20th on Liver Noise and 8 Mile at the Meeting Place. Tickets are available. Give me a call at 313-685-4666. Once again, the number is 313-685-4666. I am the neighborhood ghetto Uber. If you need a ride anywhere and you don't got a credit card, you got cash, you give me a call, I'll come get you.
All
that's
right.
What's up? That's
Ronnie,
what's up.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle.
Ronnie, what's your social media?
Ronnie Chanel, RONISHANELL on IG, just like that. Ronnie Chanel, RONISHANELL. Make sure y'all follow me on Instagram. They help get me money, you know, and help, you know, helps my agent when they're booking me and they see I got a lot of followers and stuff, help get my money up. So look out for us, sis. It don't take that long. Just go follow me. I'll say some funny shit every once in a while. I got to do better. If anybody out there handles social media, give me a call. I know social media, I think it's social media diva. Diva, I can't remember her name, but I got to call her. Anyway, Facebook is the comedian Ryan Chanel. You know, comedian spelled out for the female comedian. I don't feel like spelling all them N-N-E-E's, so but you know what it is. what I got coming up, big party, July 21st, the Laughs on the Lawn. Oh my God, this is going to be such a dope experience. Sunday, July 21st, tickets are $10. It's a backyard party. It's going to be dope. So y'all get at me. I love y'all. Peace.
All right, y'all. That has been our edition. I'm Melanie. You can catch me
at
Melanie.
You ain't tell me what's going on with you.
We only got one. Melanie J _ comedy. I'm lifting, and don't talk about the tequila on my breath. Listen, we'll be back next week with Judge, and Ronnie will be out, but we'll have a special guest in the house. Love y'all.
Oh, yeah, shout out to Good Helpers Heating and Cooling, too.
You got to give us a bark.
There
you go.
Damn,
scared me. I thought it was a real dog in the building.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an old ass dog.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
That was a little rough, Dave.